L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Hello, and welcome to Battery Bargains, where we answer your EV buying questions. Today, we'll find an EV for a Canadian musician, a family of four looking for a used EV, and another family looking for a six or seven seater. This is episode number 9. I'm Dominic Chione, host of the YouTube channel Drive Electric with Dominic, and I am joined today by Martin Lee from the EV News Daily podcast, along with Tom Malogny, senior editor at Inside EVs and host of the YouTube channel State of Charge. Now, if you're looking for your own battery bargain, email us a short paragraph with Find My EV in the subject line and tell us about your use case and budget, and we'll see about featuring your case on an upcoming episode. All right, so let's kick this thing off with our first case for today. And to be transparent, we've paraphrased these emails a bit for length and clarity. So are you guys ready to spend someone else's money?
Let's do this.
All right. So our first email comes to us from Jason. He writes, "Hi there. I'm a longtime listener, current ICE owner, but intrigued by electric cars. I live just outside of Toronto, Canada, and commute 23 miles away twice a week. I'm a part-time gigging musician, so I have to carry music gear around locally as well. Road trips are most likely to be done in the other ICE vehicle that we have. Cost, fun, and practicality are my priorities, which leads me to the Mini EV. I guess that's a Mini Cooper SE he's talking about. I like the style. I've read about the fun factor, and the used price seems to be coming down to reachable figures. The 2020 version will be much improved from a range perspective. I think it's getting 190 miles in 2025. I'm not sure I need the increased range, but it would be nice to have. But the current impending update seems to be affecting the depreciation on the current generation. Am I missing anything here? Regards, Jason." What do you think of this coming off the top of your head, Tom?
You guys know I have a history with electric Mini Coopers. Love the Mini. I drove a Mini E for like 3 years. Fantastic. And you're 100% right. They're so fun to drive. So I wouldn't discourage you from getting a Mini Cooper SE. But as an alternative, I want you to consider a BMW i3. Ooh. It's a little bit bigger. You have a little bit more room. And you can get some good deals on it. A friend of mine just rocked a fantastic deal. He got, I think it was a 2019 i3S. That's the sport version of the i3 with 2,800 miles. Like the person never drove it. And he got it for $27,500. And this is a $60,000 car, you know, and so I would urge you. And I know you might say, I don't like the way the i3 looks. Take a look at one up close. That you get all the fun factor of the Mini Cooper in the i3. It's a blast to drive. It's rear wheel drive. In my opinion, it even drives better than the Mini Cooper SE, which is front wheel drive. So I'm not discouraging you from going Mini Cooper SE. You should take a long, hard look at used i3s. You can get one with or without the range extender. If you can get a good deal on the S, it's even more fun to drive because it's got more horsepower. It's got better, a totally different suspension. It's more stable on the highway. And that's the direction I would tell you to go in. Take a look at the i3s. It's going to have better range. It's a mature car, let's say, than the Mini Cooper, as far as like overall build and everything. It's a premium interior on the i3. So I'm not saying don't get the Mini Cooper. If you really like it, go for it, but at least do yourself a favor, go test drive a used i3 somewhere.
Very good suggestion, Tom. I pulled up the back of the Mini Cooper with the seats folded down just to show, you know, what kind of space there is. Right. I was thinking I had the BMW i3 back as well, but it's very similar kind of size, I think.
A lot more room, the i3.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
Uh-huh. good to know.
It's a lot bigger. It doesn't look like it's a lot bigger, but it's a lot bigger than i3 than a Mini Cooper.
Oh, nice, nice. So, Martin, you have some any suggestions for our musician friend here in Canada?
Yeah, BMW i3 is a great shout, and it's still a great car. It's still space age, if you ask me. So there, you'll notice that it's sold in amp hours. And so the later model, 120 amp hours, if you want to compare that to other cars that you'll be cross-shopping with, that's 42.2 kilowatt hours in the BMW i3. The S is just spectacular. Even with the skinny tires, a wider track, it looks very cool, and it will be fun. So you use the word fun in your question, and I think that ticks all of the boxes. I think that the Mini would be fun, and given that suggestion, it makes me think that although you say, hey, I'm in a band and I'm going to travel and stuff, that you're probably not carrying amps and speaker stands and a lot of stuff that a band can travel in, a big van that's got like a six-seater, like three up front, three behind, and then have a big van behind or a truck or something, because they just carry, like, bands carry so much stuff. So I'm guessing you're not. If you are carrying a bit of stuff, remember the Nissan Leaf facelift version is going to be perfect for your commute, 46 miles round trip, and then it's probably going to be cold, and so you'll lose a bit of range. But if you're doing road trips in the ice for the next few years, you'll get some stellar deals on the Leaf, and I think they are good fun to drive cars, but they're not a Mini or they're not a BMW i3s, and so depends what you're carrying around with you. Remember that the Leaf is cavernous. It's such a big car with the seats folded down at the back as well, and you get a great deal. So it's got CHAdeMO charging, and which you probably won't want to do on road trips. So if you're going to be using the ice car for your road trips, then, and you know what, that's fine. It's absolutely, people are surprised we say that. We're in a transition period. No one thought we were all going to wake up tomorrow morning and instantly have the infrastructure needed for EVs. And no one's going to come for you if you carry on driving an ice car in this decade, this transition period. And so, yeah, I'd recommend that.
Yep. Perfect is the enemy of good, I think, is the expression we use for situations like that. You know, sometimes perfect's hard to achieve, but, we can always be a little bit better. So I was thinking the Mini Cooper SE might be a bit small for carrying gear. So I think I shared a pic earlier of that, and it looks like I can get a couple guitars in that. But if you have, like, depending on what size of an amplifier, and if you like Martin mentioned, speaker stands, if you need that kind of stuff, you're going to want something bigger. So my other suggestion would be, a lower cost option might be the Hyundai Kona Electric. It looks like it's hard to find much super cheap with mileage below 50,000 kilometers or 30,000 miles. But I did see one for $27,989 Canadian. That's $20,620 US. It would probably give you a bit more cargo space, but also all kinds of range. It's not exactly sporty per se, but it is at least zippy. For like 0 to 60, I believe, is 6.4 seconds. And to see if I can share this one here that I found. Yeah, so this one, 2020 Hyundai Kona Electric Preferred, of course, they're front wheel drive. This one is in Quebec, 62,000 kilometers. Yeah, some equipment, but nice black. But yeah, that would be my alternative suggestion.
And of course, for 10 grand less, you could go also in the stable. Mm-hmm. You could go the original Ioniq, not the Ioniq 5 or 6 or anything. The original Ioniq, they call it the Wind Knife. It's crazy efficient. Mm-hmm. And I forget how big this car is. It's not cavernous again, but it will fit all your gear. And you'll pick them up in the late teens now. And they really loaded them with tech. I was driving one of the original Ioniqs recently, and the Lane Keep Assist on it just put everything else to shame that I'd driven before. And you think, it's got all of the toys and the gizmos and the heated seats, and you'll pick up a real bargain for that. Now, it won't go as far, but we're not worried about range with you. And so, because you're doing that 46-mile round trip. I was really impressed. It reminded me how good that original Ioniq was, and you'll get a bargain on that as well.
So before we wrap this one up, I have one last comment to say. Guys, he's talking about having fun. You're tossing first generation Ioniqs, Leafs, Konas. Come on. He wants the Mini Cooper SE or BMW i3. I'm sticking with my choices. Those two cars are a blast to drive. So that's what I'm going to do. And Dom, I'm going to ding you a little bit here, a little bit of nepotism going on. We get a lot of emails every week from people, you know, asking us to be on Battery Bargains to help them choose the right EV. And you choose a guy from Canada that's a musician.
Yeah.
Well, it was honestly the next email in the line.
I don't know. We might have to start reviewing Dom's picks and just not let him make the final decision on who we're going to use each week. He's going to pick all the people he can relate to. So, okay, moving on.
Okay.
Well, I really don't think I know this particular David. I, but... All right. So moving on. Actually, that was Jason who has this. Our next case comes to us from David, who sent us an email and says, "Hey, guys, I love the new podcast format, and I especially love the new Battery Bargain series. Our family of four has two kids under three and currently have an ICE SUV. We need a second car and think that the market hasn't matured enough to buy a used EV. We're looking for a good around-town car, but that can also go up to 200 miles. Obviously, it needs to fit car seats in a pinch, but it won't be our main family car. We need to keep it under $25,000 used to get the tax incentive. We're thinking of either a Kona or a Model 3. My wife doesn't like the Bolt or Leaf. Secondary question. For the next year, we can only charge level one, long story. Do you think that's doable for a runaround car? Thanks for any advice. Love the show." So, Martin, we'll start with you this time. Right. A good around town car, small family, two kids. That's similar to what you have. Both of his kids are still in car seats, so they're both under three. Doesn't like the Bolt or Leaf. So they're thinking Kona or Model 3. Anything else pop up into mind?
Yeah. So don't get the Kona, because I just sold that for that exact reason, in that it was too small. Remind me, did you get the Kia e-Niro there where you were? Niro EV, it was branded, wasn't it, in the US?
Right.
So yeah, that's good. And I don't know what. I just found it on a couple of used websites. Don't know how old it was. I can see the prices are pretty high. I'm not sure. Did you get the older one, the original? Yeah, here we go. I can see the original Niro, 18,000-19,000. That's a great vehicle, by the way. And it's still witchcraft in terms of the efficiency on that vehicle. So that's, look at the Niro, because it's bigger than the Kona, and it's interesting. It's an interesting car. And as for charging at home, obviously Tom is going to ask this much better than I will. Our very first Renault Zoe, all those years ago, when it was a 21 kilowatt hour battery pack in that Renault Zoe, it was great. When it got cold, it did 80 miles of range or something. It was brilliant. And I charged that for the first 6 months or so on what I call a granny plug, or you just, you know, we our three-pin plug. We're 240 volts over here. And I work from the back of a garage, which is a separate building, and it had all the electrics redone. So it's on a separate box inside my house. It comes out via armored cable to the bottom of my garden. All new distribution box behind me, behind that wall. All the latest breakers, all that kind of stuff. Don't do it. Don't. If you possibly can, don't do it. My goodness me, it gets hot. We've got a three-pin plug, and it would pull... it pulled like six kilowatts through that or something. I'm trying to think. No, sorry, three kilowatts through. Three, think, right? Yeah, sorry, not six. 3 kilowatts through that, and you know, maybe late twos. But the thing is, you have to. It's not like boiling a kettle for a cup of tea, which lasts 45 seconds. You're pulling that, and it never went bang. But I did that for about 6 months, and I felt like I dodged a bullet. So I've been there. I speak from experience. We only ever charged it overnight, and we weren't like plugging in some sort of Frankenstein's monster hatch patch of extension leads. It was as good as it gets. And even then I'd say don't do it. Cause I did. And I'd touch that plug in the morning sometimes and it'd be warm. And this is not good. Now, it's not the cheapest thing to get a wall box put on the side. Not the brand wall box, but, you know, a car charger put on your house. Not the cheapest thing to do. We had grants back in the day here, which helped out. But my advice would be find a way to do it.
I just threw up a picture of a Kia e-Niro on the screen. I thought that was a great call out, Martin. This get one
some great deals on these. And the 64 kilowatt hour battery, oh, it'll just go forever.
Right. Yeah, good range. This one's 22,000 miles, $22,000, 22,000 miles. That's a pretty much as good a deal as you're going to get with, like, if you're looking for something with like relatively low miles. Yeah, that's about the bottom of the market right there. It's pretty nice. Yeah. And Tom, do you have any suggestions?
So Martin did steal my thunder. I was thinking Niro all along when he said that. So we're of like minds on this. When you mentioned the Kona, we know the Kona is a little bit smaller. Niro, you get more space. I think that would be something for you to look at. You also mentioned maybe a Tesla Model 3. That would work also for you. But the Niro, I think, is something you should take a good, long, hard look at. Now, as far as home charging, I know a lot of people that have lived fine with 120. But you do have to be vigilant with plugging in. You know, your car's probably parked at your house other than, you know, I don't know if you work from home. If you work from home, it's probably parked at your house 22 hours of the day. So, you know, you could actually get a lot of juice on in your vehicle from them. But if you do this and you decide you're going to really charge from a 120-volt socket. Now, you know, Martin's case a little bit different. Over in Europe, they have three-phase electric, and he's pulling 3.3 or a little more than 3 kilowatts. You're going to be charging at like 1.3, well, maybe 1.4 kilowatts. So it's much less power than what Martin gets from a regular household outlet. But what I recommend to my followers, at least if you're going to do this and charge at 120, you have to know how much you're going to be driving, and you can do it. I do recommend you hire an electrician to install a new 20-amp dedicated circuit. And that way, you know, the wiring's all new. You tell them that this is going to be used for car charging. Make sure all the connections are torqued really tightly to proper connections, because, you know, you're going to be calling on an outlet in your garage to be doing something that, you know, maybe it's not up to the task. If it's an existing outlet, I don't know how old your house is. A lot of times outlets in garages get very little use. They're 20, 30, 40 years old. Then all of a sudden they get used 10 hours a day, 7 days a week. And, you know, the connections might be loosened up. You might have a white mouse might have nibbled on that wire inside the wall. And it's, you know, the mice love to chew on the wires, and they strip the plastic off the wires. Now, all of a sudden, you're heating the thing up every day. So it's a good idea. It won't cost you that much to have a new dedicated 20-amp circuit pulled with an industrial-grade outlet. Don't buy the $3 or $3. They're like $1.12 at Home Depot. A regular, do not use that outlet. You'll melt it. Get in it. Go to a supply house. Spend $6, $7 on an industrial, maybe $10 on an industrial grade 120-volt outlet. Run a new 20-amp line, you know, 12-2 wire for 20-amp. Tighten all the connections. And you actually, as long as you're going to be vigilant and plug the thing in all the time, you can actually really live on 120-volt charging, unless you really drive, you know, more than 60, 70 miles a day, which, you know, few people do. So look at the Niro, consider the Model 3. If you want to live on home charging, run a new circuit, and I think you'll be good to go.
The great thing about going for something like the Niro, which is a good family car, but with a big battery, is that if you do need to dash in somewhere, if for whatever reason home charging is not working out for you, once a week, you can do your groceries, you can stick it on a DC fast charger, you can come back 45 minutes later, and that could probably be your charging for the whole week done. And but with a small battery, that doesn't really work. With a big battery, you can charge up once a week, and if you're not doing a lot of miles, that'll just get you through. I know people that do that, and, you know, they just pick a time when the chargers aren't going to be busy. You know, perhaps they'll pick an evening time, go to a supermarket that's open till midnight or something, and rocking up at 8 or 9 p.m. when it's, you know, the chargers aren't being used, and that'll be their weekly charge. And so it's not the cheapest way to do it. Mind you, your electricity price is a bit cheaper than over here right now. So
you pay double. You'll still pay double.
So, but that's worth considering getting a big battery EV.
Or if you go to somewhere like a Whole Foods in my town has complimentary charging. So if you're in there for an hour, yeah, it's just free. Just plug in. Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
That's all gone. All our free charging's gone.
Oh, really? Okay.
There's not a lot of that around, but there's some still here, particularly the Volta network, because it's the is it a Volta charger, Dom?
No, it's an old Clipper Creek unit, I believe.
Because the Volta network is based on free charging. It has advertising, big display screens, where that's how they get revenue. But you know, you're also supposed to limit your time there. You're only supposed to stay for like 2 hours or something. There's rules, so you're not hogging the thing all day.
Sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You got to remember that over here, Putin burped and Ukraine happened, and then our electricity prices went about 75 pence a unit per kilowatt hour for public charging. So what's that, like 82, 85 cents doing the conversion? So it's not the cheapest thing.
It's still cheaper than gas over there, because your gas is like crazy expensive.
We're getting close. I did Silverstone last week, which is, I'm down on the south coast. Silverstone's where the Formula One, the motor racing happens. I had to do some work up there. Mm-hmm. That is 120 miles. So maybe I did a 250 mile round trip. And because diesel prices have fallen here, and we still have a diesel Golf in the driveway that we keep on like an old family pet. And I looked at that. I looked at how much I charged because I took the MG, which has got a small battery. So I did like three charging stops where I got food and stuff as well. And I'm like, well, this is not a million miles away from driving on the diesel. So can't wait for those prices to come back to reality. And they are all falling. Tesla's one of the most cost effective, but they're all coming down now.
Right. As far as like charging on 110 over on a daily basis, so I did that for like a good year, maybe a year and a half with my Spark EV. I was driving maybe 30 miles a day and not using too much electricity, so I could replace that electricity pretty easy and not leave it plugged in for too long. So that's, you know, one way. And like Tom says, though, you know, check your plug. If it's, put your hand on it, see if it's heating up. That's not great. You know, if it's getting overly hot, then that's not great. And maybe a better make a receptacle would help out. That's right. Tom, what was the brand that you suggest?
No, I just said get an industrial grade brand. Go to an electrical supply house. Don't go down to Home Depot and get one. And you know, and I really recommend pulling a whole new circuit. It's not going to cost that much. It's a, you know, a simple pull of wire and put in a new, that way, you know, from service panel to the end, it's the wire's in great shape. It's brand new. All the connections are torqued to the right torque. You're going to be asking this thing to charge many hours a day, every single day.
Right.
You know, just imagine you spent an extra $300 on your car. Okay. And don't even think of it as you're spending money on the electric, you know, and, or negotiate get the guy's final price and then offer him $200 less and say, you're not budging. He'll still sell you the car. And, you know, and now you just save the money to run a new circuit. And, it's just, if you know you're going to be putting this thing through the ropes every day for many hours, it's a good idea to start with a nice fresh circuit with new wire, new connections, industrial grade, outlet, and you're good to go.
Right. Awesome. So my suggestion wasn't great. I think Martin really got me here. I was thinking, you know, price really is a top concern. A Chevy Bolt would be the cheapest car with over 200 miles of range. If you don't mind the seats or the interior of the first gen, and I'll throw one up on the screen there.
But Tom, didn't they say they don't want the Bolt?
Wife doesn't like the Bolt. Oh man, my reading comprehension is no bueno, apparently.
You wrote it.
But then along those lines, has your wife looked at the Bolt EUV?
Yes.
It does look different. It does look better.
They do look a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. So maybe take a look at that, because if you can get her to go for the EUV, now they're very reasonably priced. So that's something that you could consider.
And they probably ride a little bit differently too, since it's got like three inches more of
And there's a lot more rear seat room.
Right. And also a bit more cargo room in the back.
No, there isn't really, though.
Oh, really?
You get the extra inches are all in the rear seat room.
Okay.
I think actually it measures, like the cargo capacity measures to be slightly less than a Bolt because the seats are pushed back and you have more leg room.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. So, I mean, once you put the seats down, you get that back, that cargo space back. You know, so it does have more cargo space, but with the seats up, it measures slightly less. But that's a vehicle to consider as a Bolt UV.
Right. But then as you mentioned the Model 3, I would kind of go, I mean, the Kia e-Niro is a great suggestion, but like secondary to that, just Tesla Model 3 is like hard to say no to. It's like what I drive, I really enjoy driving it. Rural drive, I enjoy the dynamics more than a Kia, but the Kia e-Niro might be a better form factor for you because you won't have to bend down to put it in the seat so much, right? So I still kind of think Martin's got the good suggestion here. So we should do our last one and wrap this up. Our last email comes to us from Grace. She writes, I'm looking for a 6 or 7 seat EV for the family. We have a 2018 Bolt and love it, but we don't all fit. So we test drove a Model X and loved it, but the price is way out of range. Rivian R1S is also too expensive. What is there for under 40 grand? We also need 3,500 pound towing capacity, preferably more. It's not clear if VW Buzz will have more than 5 seats here. I believe it will. The Kia EV9 might come out early next year and might have a base option around 55K. Maybe our best option is the Fisker Pear with 6 seats at 35K. Sell our Bolt and keep our ICE Nissan Pathfinder for towing heavier loads. Anyway, I'm just really frustrated that the U.S. market often has only 5 seats where the same model has 6 or 7 in other markets. Thanks, Grace. Okay, Martin, this is a little tough one. 6 or 7 seats in the U.S. in an electric vehicle. That's kind of hard right now, right?
It can be done. It can be done. Can you just remind us of the stats again on budget?
She says the Model X, new Model X, I guess, is too expensive. Same with the Rivian R1X. She does mention like the Kia EV9 coming out early next year and may have a base option around 55. So she didn't sound like she was putting 55 out of the
didn't
question.
Didn't she say 40,000?
Right. Yeah, I heard you say the number.
She did want to say where are all the 40,000 cars or under $40,000 cars.
Oh, where are they? Where are they? They're not here. So yeah. That's what I want you to clarify because I wasn't quite sure from the way she worded it. If it was like, I want to find a 7-seater under 40 grand or...
I think under 40 grand is the idea, really. Yeah,
but then she talked about an EV9, which is twice the price, and a Buzz, which is... Let's get into it. So the Buzz, when it comes to the US, the Buzz will be long wheelbase, but it's going to be fabulously expensive. And so, this is where my confusion, you mentioned the 40 number. I didn't know if you were just mentioning it in passing of, like, where are they? Because I can get them with combustion. Where are they? Yeah, not here yet. So, but if your budget is 55, 60, all right, well, remember that the Model S, you're going to go older Model S, but the Model S did have some jump seats facing backwards. For small people, remember that if it hasn't got to be EV, then things like the XC90 Recharge, I think they called it the Recharge in the US. I don't know whether you got the T6 or the T8, but that's a great spec vehicle. Again, it's only a plug-in hybrid, but that's got 7 seats. And again, those 2 rear seats are not for 6-foot adults. You can, on the XC90, slide the whole... Or do the second row move individually? I forget. Either way, there's no leg room. And so, again, it's for kids. Mercedes EQB. Also, you can get a reasonably good used Mercedes EQB. That's also 7 seats. And that's an amazing vehicle. Anyway, I don't want to take up Tom's suggestions. Maybe I just have.
No, you could keep talking because I'm at a loss. You know, if I read the email as like she was really hoping to get something for around 40,000, and I just don't see that happening. You know, you're saying, where are they? They're not here. They're not here yet. The Kia EV9 is going to probably be the most affordable 7-seat EV when it comes out. But as you mentioned, 55 plus. And didn't she also mention the Fisker Pear?
Yes, but that's mid 2025 though.
Yeah, that's the thing. That there is estimated to come out in mid 2025. We're not going to see that till 2026 at least.
That would be a surprise.
26. So, you know, you're looking at more than 2 years if you want to wait for FISC repair. Hopefully. So I don't know, you know, could you stretch the budget and go for a Kia EV9? You know, I don't know what the prices are on the used EQBs, but it's going to be really hard to get a 7-seat fully electric vehicle for under $50,000. Really hard for a while, I'm afraid.
So the EV9 light spec, light long range. The light starts at 56. The light long range starts at 60.5. I presume it's in demand, and I don't know what Kia dealers do in the US, but you might be paying a bit more than that whilst it's in heavy demand. And that is a real base spec as well. But it would, but that's, again, you might want to do some finance on that, or a lease deal, or get something that means you can keep your monthly payments sensible. But even then, that's a $60,000 vehicle to get 7 seats. And so, as Tom says, that they are just not here yet because edge cases just aren't here. You know, if you know any car dealers, they will tell you that the vehicles that people need are the ones that sell the quickest. So if you walk onto a dealer's lot and you need a 7-seater, you're not walking away with a 6-seater. If you need to move 7 people, then you are buying a 7-seater that day. And they know that. And that's why they sell so quick. They, you know, they stock them, they sell them. And it's the same. It's the same with if you've got a specific need. And over here, things like automatics sell really well because we have, you know, most cars are manual. But people want automatics. And so you don't see many of those for sale on dealers' lots because they get them and sell them. And so that's the case with a I say edge case. And there's lots of people that need a 7-seater. I get that. So, you know, it's not edge case, but it is in EV world, not something particularly well catered for at a lower price point. Yeah, unfortunately.
And the buzz, when it launches, you're talking Rivian R1S dollars.
Yeah.
This isn't, you know, Kia EV6 dollars. It's going to be expensive and the dealers are going to get a premium. Mm-hmm. So because they're not shipping we're not going to get a whole lot of them here. So they're always going to be in demand, in my opinion. I think they're always going to be a premium going on them. Now, I know Volkswagen, and even the CEO of Volkswagen here in North America said that they're working on making sure dealers don't gouge customers. I don't know how they could do that. It's kind of illegal for dealers to do that. You know, Ford's trying to figure out a way of doing that here, but they're getting so much pushback. They're getting sued from the dealer networks in all the different states for trying to do set pricing that, you know, it's very difficult. The dealer franchise laws are very strict here in the U.S. So I suspect that the Volkswagen buses are going to sell for a lot of money. It's going to be way out of your price range. So I wish we had better news for you. I don't think the vehicle that you want is going to be available at the price you're willing to pay.
Right. I think, the FISC repair is one I would just put out of mind right away, because not only will it be like at least mid 2025, probably later, they're saying it may have, you know, a 6-seat, like a bench seat in the front. I would not count on that. I would be so shocked if that actually happened, like a bench seat in the front. You know, if anything needs a bench seat, it would be like the F-150 Lightning. If that would be such a perfect vehicle with, you know, for some people with a bench front seat. I just grew up with a bench seat in a pickup truck, and it was fine. It was great, and kind of missed that kind of format, but we don't really see that anymore here. So fitting 6 or 7 people in a car for under $40,000 is hard unless you go to the used market. And they said that like the Model X, so, you know, our Model X is out there for under 40. This is a 2018 X.
Scotty, something wrong with that, Dom.
5D. No. Let me just run down to the
vehicle history.
Let me just, yeah.
Because that seems unusually low.
Right. Yeah, one accident or something. So, yeah, even that one's not great. And there was another couple below 40 there, but probably suspect. So, could be, that's really putting it out of contention in my view. Plus it's a 2018 Model X. So out of warranty, I don't think you should buy a Model X out of warranty. at this point right now, if it's a budget is like a concern. So I would suggest, if you're willing to wait that long for a Fisker, I would suggest waiting until halfway through next summer and seeing what the used market for EV9s is, the Kia EV9, because people are going to be buying that. And, you know, some people will end up selling that. And there'll be some of those on the used market within the first few months. There won't have a lot of there won't be too many high mileage ones out there, at least probably. So you can save a bit of money that way. And I don't know if how long it will take to get down to 40, but I don't know. That's what I would look at least. That's as good as I think we can do for 6 or 7 seaters for like a low budget right now. Yes, disagree.
No, that's it. We can't solve them all. this one might be a situation that our answer to you is we're not sure that you can get what you want at this point, which is unfortunate. Right. But that's the case sometimes.
So there's a few three row SUVs out there, but they're all expensive. They're super expensive, and this Kia is going to be like the most affordable thing, and it's coming soon, but not quite soon enough. Yeah.
So there is a three row BMW X5.
Okay.
But is that a plug-in hybrid, or is it just a soft hybrid in the US?
Have the X5 in a plug-in hybrid, but I don't know if the plug-in hybrid version of the X5 had the third row option.
Again, and it might be that you want to go pure electric and not drive a 3-liter, turbocharged 3-liter around, or you might not be bothered by that. And it might be actually, I want to do 20 miles at a time, doing, you know, dropping kids off to, you know, swimming or something on a weekend, and it suits you absolutely fine. So have a look at that. But yeah, you might be looking at a plug-in hybrid.
It's going to be pricey too, though. Can you do that below 40?
No, I'm having a look here, 47. There's one. Yeah. It's a 2021 model, but on the X-Drive 40. But yeah. That's a bad.
Still pretty pricey.
Ignore me.
That's all right. Plug-in hybrids are a good, you know, bridge for some people, especially in this time where there's not the right vehicle for every specific situation necessarily. We're getting there. Lots of cars come up this year. Actually, that reminds me, on our regular show, Batteries Included podcast, or Urine's shows are coming up where we look at the cars coming next year as well. So that's something to be excited about. All right. But I think that brings us to the end of this show. If you have any questions or comments, please leave us, them for us below, or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. Don't forget, if you like the show, please give us a thumbs up, click subscribe, and tap that bell icon for notifications. Thank you all very much for joining us, and we'll see you again very soon. Ciao.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience, has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.